I just get to enjoying the word so much I lose place. I apologize. Revelation chapter 4. Continue to work ourselves, our way down through these beautiful verses, and it's just almost impossible to start midway down, and we're going to begin in the 4th and 5th verse again today, but I want to read from verse 1, and we'll read down through the 11th verse to the end of this chapter. So please that you would follow along with me. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look unto like a jasper and a sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, which of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank You and praise You today. It's such a wonderful, glorious day to come, to be in Your house and to be together with this family. And I just ask that You'll take the words that we have read, and with Your Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, He will come and He will give me wisdom of what to say, and give all that are here to listen that they will hear what You have to say, dear Lord. As the Spirit gives us this wonderful opportunity to learn and to teach, because your Spirit shows us everything of the Lord Jesus, and then the Lord Jesus shows us to You, dear Father. And we thank You for all the Your book from the beginning to the end. And I just ask that You'll just continue every day, show us more and more about You, that we may know You and love You and serve You and honor You every day, that You give us breath to breathe, life to live. And so please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now through this study as we continue to look at some things that are kind of beyond our imagination. And some of these things we need just to kind of be able to somewhat comprehend. You've given us earthly things so that we can understand it. So please, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Thank you, Jim. We look to the Word of God, and we see these beautiful verses of Scripture, and it begins to give us some things to think about in the world to come. The life after this life. We know as a believer in Jesus Christ that the life begins the very second, the very moment that you trust in Jesus as your Savior. That's when real life begins. You were breathing, you were functioning in some manner or another prior to life coming in through the Holy Spirit, but it was nothing of value, nothing of value. And the only way that we can be of value in this life and the life to come is to praise and honor our God. And He not only gives us this life, this salvation, but He also opens this door for us to take a look into heaven to see what's going to come. And He gives us just little bits, you know, little precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit, as He shows us through eternity. And we're so limited with our minds and our ability to see this. That please just ask the Lord to guide you, ask the Spirit to show you these things, and that we may become more excited about what's to come. And when we become more excited about what's to come, we're going to be more excited about knowing more about the one that can bring that, and also we become less excited about the things of the day, because our mind and our hearts are just not that we can only dream about what's in heaven, but how can I serve my God here and now? And so what wonderful things that we need to look at here. And as we've looked at the elders, we've looked at the brought John up in the Spirit to look, we talked about how that makes a wonderful example of not only the rapture of the church, but also of the death of a believer, that immediately you're out of the body in the presence of the Lord. And what a wonderful hope and promise that is. And then we found that he was looking at this throne, and more important than the throne by many times over is the one that sat upon that throne. And we were giving a description of who he looks like, what he looks like. And only some very precious things of this world can give us any idea of what he looks like. And then it moves on forward, and we have the rainbow round about the throne, and this was a green and emerald in color. And then we come and we find these 24 elders sitting there. And these elders, if you'll look back into the Greek, you'll find that it's presbytos, and I probably am not pronouncing that right, presbyteros. And that's what that word elders mean there. And you probably will not be surprised then that that's where the Presbyterians get their name for the elders. And they have they call it a presbytery. And that's kind of the leadership of the Presbyterian church. And so that word comes directly from there. But these elders, these 24 elders, it's believed represents the church. And it's a church age from the time of Pentecost to the rapture. And these elders, these representatives here, they come and they have white garments, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ that all receive. And we find them in a very special place. We find them circling the throne of God. And so we again can acknowledge that the church has been raptured. It has been taken out from this earth and taken and placed in God's home with Him. And we are surrounding the throne. And these crowns of gold, mentioned that not only does it speak of royalty, of deity, but it also tells us of the of the role that we will have. When we have crowns of gold, we will too rule with Him. And we have discussed that in other studies, that we will be ruling with Him. And it also speaks of the crowns, as it says in the last part of this chapter, that we will lay these crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior. And so it's important that we have crowns. It's important that we acquire these crowns. And so we move then down to the next in review with the fifth verse there. And out of this throne come lightnings and thunderings. And, you know, as we look at these times of in the summertime, we get these storms that come through. And way before the storm ever hits, why, you hear the thunder, and you'll look from here, well, we usually look in the west and the southwest, and you see the lightning strikes come down, and then the big thunders, and it just continues. And the more intense of the lightning and of the thunder is, the more that we think that there's going to be a storm, and it's going to be a serious storm. And the more you see it, and the darker the clouds and everything, why, you know that you better strap everything down, because there's a storm a-coming. And so this is no different here. Jesus is here for judgment. And these lightnings and this thunder, judgment is coming. And He will bring judgment, and He's going to bring it soon. In the end of that fifth verse, we look at the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, as it tells us in the end of that fifth verse. These seven spirits tell us of the perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read back in Isaiah 11, we read concerning this, the second verse, a few weeks ago. And these seven spirits that it speaks of here is of the Lord, of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, of the fear of the Lord. There's seven, number of perfection, as always, as we look at that. And that is the fullness of the Spirit of God. And it gives us such a beautiful look at who our Lord Jesus Christ is. John saw this one in the midst of the seven candlesticks at the beginning of this study of Revelation. But now we find these seven golden candlesticks have been placed around the throne. And so once again, we realize and we recognize that all born-again believers have been taken from the beginning of Pentecost until the end of the rapture, to the end of the church age. All believers that now have been gathered up and have received their glorified bodies, and they are in the presence of God, surrounding the throne of God. All lamps now are burning, and Jesus is with us. You see, from the day that we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, from the day that we trust in Jesus, Jesus never, ever, ever leaves us. You know, we say many times in reading your verse of Scripture, you know, forever and ever, forever and ever. And it's several times, liveth forever and ever. Well, He lives with us forever and ever. From the day that you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will never forsake you and never leave you. And we find in our being transported from earth to heaven, He is still present. He is still in our midst. And what a wonderful promise that we have. And now to the sixth verse, and that's kind of where we've covered just a little bit of the sixth verse last week. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. This sea of glass, on occasion, not very often, will you see a body of water. Every once in a while, maybe early morning, you can look out and you can see that water, and it's just so smooth and so beautiful. And the sea of glass, it tells us here. And you know, when you see that, it's calming. It is a calming act when you look at this water, and it just relaxes you. It's such a beautiful sight how this water can be so calm. And usually it's not long that the wind picks up or a storm comes through and there begins to be movement of that water, and the water is tossed back and forth. And that's sad to say is a lot of times the life of a believer. Shouldn't be, but it is. It's the life of a believer that we are just tossed from one side to the other. God promises us this calm. He promises us this peace. And we can find it when we come to Him and depend upon Him and trust Him. He will give us a calm in this life that is not a calm water. There is nothing about this life, there's nothing about this earth today that is calm. It is all just so busy every direction that we can't even seem to take a breath. And you wonder, what am I going to have to do next? Today I need, and the only we depend upon our Word. And so I guarantee that will be every day, all day, every night, all night, will be calm. We'll be calm. And so when we're busy at work and doing things here, knowing that even if today isn't so calm, there'll be a day that calm will come. This being tossed to and fro with the winds of this world, that's made for the wicked of this life, of this world, those that choose not to trust in Jesus. But the calmness, the sea of glass, the clear and calm, that is to be in a Christian's life. And we need to depend upon the Lord and look to Him, because there are many days that it doesn't seem possible that we can get done what we need to do and do it with any kind of peace of mind in whatsoever. But it can be as we go day by day by day, one day at a time, knowing that God's going to give us rest at night. And we're going to wake up the next morning and we'll start out again and we'll do it again and again, knowing that when this life is over, there will be a constant peace and a constant calm. We look at the seventh verse here and even the last part of the sixth verse there. I don't want to miss these four beasts or these four living creatures is really the literal meaning there. The four living creatures. Full of eyes, before and behind, it says in that sixth verse. And then it gives us quite a description of these four living creatures. Now, these living creatures, and the word beasts, we think of being something that is bad, is evil, is awful. It's not that at all. And again, it's more four living creatures. And they have the most one of the most wonderful responsibilities. And it's a responsibility they were created for. They were created for this. As we, as born-again believers also, we are created to praise Him and to honor Him. We have a description here. John begins to describe them in the seventh verse. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And again, keep in our minds, try to keep what John is seeing here. You know, here's the throne, here's the one God, King of Kings, on the throne. And everything else builds around it. Everything else. Jesus is the center of everything. He should be the center of our life today. And He will be the center of the universe, of all that's created, of everything. He is the center. And we find Him in the center on His throne. And again, judgment is about to come. But we find all these things. We find the church surrounding Him. We find this calm surrounding Him, because we will know exactly what we're to do. We will be doing it. And Jesus is the one that can bring us peace and calm. No one else can. Nothing else can. Nothing of this life. We try to have things of this life to to bring us peace and bring us satisfaction. And it won't. It may just for a glint, just for a short time. But our God is the only one that can give that to us. And it is something that, again, will be in and through eternity. He will be in His place, guiding and leading. And He will be of such authority that we will know and trust everything that He does and everything that He says. And you know, when you know that you can trust someone completely, completely, that in itself brings peace. When you are told something and you know it's true because you know the one that told you, you can trust with your life. And we have trusted our life, given it unto God. He has given us life. He has opened the opportunity for life. And when He speaks, when He says something, it will always be true. It will always be right. And we will know it and accept it. And that will be such peace. And we'll have our glorified bodies and we'll have the mind of Christ, and all these things that we worry about today will be gone. It gives us these four beasts now, four living creatures that are around, full of eyes. And it says before and behind in verse 6. And in verse 7, we have the lion. The lion is something that is of power and is of majesty. The lion is king of the beasts. The calf or the oxen is something of more of humility, of patience. It's something that labors. It's a beast of labor, whereas the first is the king of the beast, and then now we have the oxen or the calf is the beast of labor, the one that is humble and patient. And then we have man. Man is the third one, and he is the highest of God's creation. You know, the world is trying to steal that away. The world is trying to say that animals and everything are an equal level. Well, that's an atheistic attitude, but it is the devil's attitude, and so the devil promotes that kind of doctrine and that kind of theology. And we need to stand upon the truth, which we know that God has created man as the superior, and we are the highest. We have wisdom, we have reason, we have intelligence, we have a soul. Nothing else does. So we have the picture of man here, and as John describes it. Then the fourth one is the eagle. The eagle is the wisest of all the birds, as the lion was the most powerful of all the beasts. And we know with the eagle that he flies the highest, he can see the most, and his action is the swiftest of all birds. And so we have the lion, the calf, or the oxen, and the man, and the eagle. We have the four descriptions here. When we look at these, these characteristics combined bring us a wonderful look of our God. Because that's who He is. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. But these four creatures, living creatures, are not the same. They're not chosen out of the 24 elders. They're not chosen from the elders. These creatures have a special responsibility. And when we look at the 8th verse here, we see, "And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." That is the responsibility these four living creatures had, was to sing and to praise. Day and night, and to the one that has been, is, and always will be. Not only is He the past, the present, and the future, but He is, as that verse tells us in verse 8, right before the end, He is the Almighty. Almighty. No one is mightier than He. No one has knowledge more than He. No one is wiser than He. No one is forever and ever and never has a beginning except our God. And that's who John is able to look upon. And John sees not only again the throne and God sitting upon it. He not only sees then beyond that is 24 thrones and 24 elders, the church sitting around that. And then we go beyond that and we find this rainbow. We find evidence that the church is present. We find evidence that Jesus is with us today and Jesus will be with us through eternity. And then we come and we find these four living creatures and their sole purpose for all eternity is to praise, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." They continue day and night, never resting, never stopping, praising and honoring God. It's just kind of like the most beautiful choir that you've ever heard. And your most favorite song, most favorite hymn that you love to hear sung, and you listen to that, and it is praising day and night and day and night in honor to our God. That's what's going on at this time. And remember, we've moved forwards. The church has been raptured. The church is present. There's some things, some judgment that's going to take place. And we're going to take a look at that here in the very near future when we get to the fifth chapter. It begins. We continue now to look at this ninth verse. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their thrones before the throne." Look at the events. Look at what's taking place. We're in heaven. We're standing around the throne. And these four living creatures, magnificent creatures, begin to sing and to say these wonderful words. And when that begins, we just fall at the feet of the throne of God. The church will fall to their feet. No one will stay standing. No one will desire to stand. And we too will be praising and honoring the One that liveth forever and ever. We will fall down before Him and we will worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And in that same process, everything that we have, we will lay at His feet. We will lay at His feet. There won't be one individual that will hold back one thing. Think, well, I'm going to give this much, but I'm going to keep this much because, you see, we're for the first time going to have the proper heart. Yes, we've been born again, but the old flesh gets its will all the time. We're going to have perfect mind. We're going to have a glorified body. And we're going to know and recognize who has given us all that. You see, we have made one step forwards that the world has not enjoyed yet. And when I say the world, I think of the earth, the animals and the plant life and all those things. It's still cursed. It's still cursed. We look at these beasts praising and honoring because He is worthy, as that 11th, "For Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Yes, He made it for us. He made it for us to enjoy. But when we enjoy what He has given us, then it's our place as believers to praise Him. Because He's the one that has given it to us. He has given us joy and life and peace. He has given us so much. these elders fall before Him and worship because they realize, they understand, they know that they have been taken out of this earth, taken away from this corruption. They have been taken away from all the pain, all the suffering, whether it be physical or mental, spiritual, whatever the pain that you felt down here, the pain that you're feeling down here is all gone. Every bit of it. And for the first time, we're going to be able to bow down before Him. And there's not going to be a one of us that's going to need help bowing down. Our old bodies and our knees and everything is going to work just fine. And we're going to bow down to Him and we're going to praise Him with voices because we're going to have our perfect voices. We're going to have all the strength we need. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day that is going to be. The day we come before our Lord. Now this day is we're going to, if I die today, and I will go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus, of my God, and I will praise Him and I will honor Him, but I will not have my glorified bodies, my body. But when this takes place, we will. We will have our glorified bodies because the church has been raptured out. And so then, for the first time, we'll understand completely what being made perfect is all about. And we know that there's going to be one more step to come, and that's to clean up the earth. To clean up the earth. Because you see, it was cursed too. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 really explains it very well. The condition that the old earth is in. Romans chapter 8. And we can even start with verse 18. We'll read down through verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. And so you see, it begins when Adam decided to eat of the forbidden fruit, him and Eve. At that time, not only did the curse come upon man, sin came into man, but all the earth was cursed. Everything. We don't have any idea what's something that's beautiful and something that in its full beauty, because it's cursed today. It is cursed today. Jesus came into the world 1900 plus years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, took a body, was tempted in every point, yet without sin, took the sinner's place. Law couldn't do that. Law could not take the sinner's place. The law condemned the sinner, but Jesus did. And Jesus paid the sin debt. Jesus paid the debt. He purchased redemption for all sinners. And all we have to do is come by faith. Now, this redemption that we receive through the cross of Calvary, when we become born again, we still have our old flesh. But when we get to the place we're at here in chapter 4, Revelation, we're in heaven in His presence with our glorified bodies, enjoying each and every day praising and honoring our God. But the earth is still cursed. It's still cursed. It's still yearning and waiting. You can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and you'll find that to be true. But there is going to be a day that the whole creation will be made new completely. And so the bondage of this corruption that has been going on for 6,000 years will disappear, will go away. These four living creatures and the four 24 elders, they understand that they have received, the elders especially, they have received this redemption, and they know that this redemption draws nigh to all the earth, that all the creation will be made new. And no longer the animals and the flowers, everything will be taken out from under that curse. And they're rejoicing over being before their God and rejoicing because something exciting is going to happen. We're going to look next week at a man called it the terms of redemption concerning the earth and the animal kingdom. We're going to look at that in chapter 5. And so don't miss as we begin to open up what's to come. It is a wonderful study. I hope that you get excited when you see and hear what's to come. And I hope that we can look forwards and not be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, but we need to be enough heavenly minded that we're good for our God. We're serving Him, we're praising Him, we're honoring Him in what we do. And so please, help us to just look each day, one day at a time, serving Him, praising Him. Because look to what? You talk about the mansion on the hilltop. The mansion. Oh, look at this time right here. And all the things and all the service we're going to have with Him. Praise Him, honor Him, and enjoy each and every day that we have as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You and I praise You that we can enjoy this study. We look at these words, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, praise. Oh, dear Lord, thank You. Thank You that we have the opportunity to do that. And please that we do, that we don't look to ourselves and pat ourselves on the back or take credit for anything, dear Lord, because You're the one that gives us the physical strength. You give us the mental ability. You give us the spirit within our hearts to guide us and give us the wisdom that we need. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Help us to walk each day with You. Father, for those that are here that do not know You as their Savior, they're going to see the fires of hell. They're not going to see the grace and Your peace and joy. They're not going to see the calm of the sea. They're going to see the fires and have nothing to drink and would give anything, everything that they ever owned on this world, on this earth. They would give it all up if they could just have a drop of water. Father, please, I ask today that You touch every heart that and all of us, Father, but first of all, those that do not know You as their Savior, that they'll come today and trust in You. And then, Father, for all that are born again, that have experienced that wonderful time of coming to the cross and being born again and receiving life in You, that we praise You and honor You and serve You. And we depend upon You, and we look to these calm seas that You can give to us, that we can walk each day with You. Thank You, Father, for Your strength, for Your wisdom. Thank You for Your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please, and turn to page 37. This may seem like a little different invitation or closing hymn. But when you look at it in what we have studied, praise to the Lord the Almighty, 37. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. And so please stand and look at those words as you sing them today. Please stand.